the second week of the Jesus Culture series, and that I'm excited. I've been loving it. I don't know if I'm biased or not, but I think Dad's messages the last 2 weeks have been incredible. And it has, I feel like Dad's this morning, he feels like he's been reading the Sermon on the Mount for the first time. I feel like I've been hearing it for the first time because it's just been really opening up so much for me, which I've just loved and I've appreciated so much. So, you know, if you are into listening to messages, which your presence here tonight suggests you are, then download the podcast. And listen to that if you weren't here in the morning, because it is worth listening to with an open heart, amen. And then my challenge is to speak on the same topic again and do something different. But I do have something different. It's going to be good, I think. I think God's really like put something on my heart, so I'm going to share it. In the last week, we talked a lot about, you know, you're blessed when you do these things. I mean, you're blessed, and you know, it's the Beatitudes, and it's a lot about changing things in your life and getting things right so that you're walking in the blessing of God. Yeah, and so that you're filled with God. It's not talking about blessing like, you know, just so you get more money to spend on yourself. It's talking about being more and more filled with God, because that's real blessing. Amen. And so this week, kind of, I feel like this next section, which Adrian so beautifully read in the video, is about kind of, what do you do? So you have kind of lined yourself up and your life up with what God has and the way that Jesus tells you to live. And so then, like, what do I do now with my life that I've done that, yeah? What do I do now? Like, what am I supposed to do about this thing that I've just got, this blessing that I've got from God, this filled with God that I have? You know, when my heart has been filled with God, what do I do with it, yeah? And then this may come, you know, as a shock, but the Jesus culture is not about you, it's not about me, but it's about Jesus. That's why it's the Jesus culture. And so, like, I don't think we can change somebody's life by preaching, like, a good message. I am preaching right now, and I do that, and I hope that God speaks to you, but, you know, someone's life is not changed from one good message. Someone's life's changed by someone showing them the love of God day in, day out, by loving people and showing somebody a life that has been transformed by the love and the grace of Jesus. Amen? And so living the purpose and living the way that Jesus commands us to live is not just about getting blessing. Yeah? It's not just about my blessing, and that's why I would live in the Jesus culture, but it's about seeing the people around us see Jesus because we live in the Jesus culture. It's about everything that I say and everything that I do pointing to Jesus. Yeah, it's about, like, when I start to actually do the things that I say I do and I want to do and the things that I say I believe, then it points people towards God. Yeah, and it opens the door for God's blessing, not just in your life, but in someone else's life who doesn't know Him. Like, that's amazing. You know, if I can do the things that God has called me to do, then I can actually open the door in somebody else's life to God to speak into them. That's really cool. That's amazing, yeah? I'm going to read that bit again, a bit of it. This is kind of the bit that I want to focus on tonight. It says in Matthew 5:13, "You're the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. And you are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven." I'm always challenged by this scripture, and I love it. And I think that, like, when I was reading this and thinking about it and praying, like, this is kind of, I feel, the key to kind of understanding why Jesus talks about these other things afterwards. Like, He talks about all these, the law and what you need to do and the rules for things that you would do. And I think it all comes back to this picture that He gives us of salt and of light and what that means. And that's what I want to talk about tonight. Oh, I'm happy. You know, it's about love for people and how that represents God, because God is love. And you can't not love people and say that you love God. It doesn't work. And so if we can't love other people, then we can't love God. And if you can't love somebody else, then you can't show them how God loves them, yeah? It doesn't work like that, yeah? So all of those specific bits about murder and adultery and divorce and all of that stuff, it all comes back to, do I love people? Am I being salt and light, yeah? So that's what I want to talk about tonight. I'm going to pray again. God, I just thank you so much for your word, and that every time I read it, God, you show me new things. And God, that it's alive, that it's active, that it's powerful, and that it's the truth, Lord. And I just pray that right now you would just open our hearts to hear what you have to say, God. And it wouldn't be any just of my words or any of my thoughts, God, but that you would just speak so clearly into every life, into every heart, God. And you would show me just how much I need you and how much we need you, God, to live the life that you've called us to live. Amen. Awesome. So I'm going to talk about salt. And I'm going to talk about light. Really simple, I think it's good. So the first thing is, like Jesus says, you are the salt of the earth. So what does that mean? Yeah, what does salt mean? What is Jesus talking about when he says that? I don't think Jesus ever just says random things. He doesn't just say them for the sake of it. He's not into putting out throwaway lines. So when he says something, it means something. Yeah, and salt, like, brings out the best in something. Salt brings out the flavor in something. Salt preserves or saves something, yeah? Like, that is salt. I'm all keen for salt. Anybody, you know, feel like they like some salt? You know, you go to McDonald's and you get your fries. And, you know, fries, if you get fries with no salt, they are really average. Like, you might argue that they're average with the salt, but without it, they're really bland. You know, it needs the salt. The food by itself is not good enough. Yeah, and I was blown away today by something in Leviticus. And I'm going to share that with you, and hopefully it makes sense. Leviticus 2:13 says this, "Season all your grain offerings with salt. Do not leave the salt out of the covenant of your God, out of your grain offerings. Add salt to all your offerings." And I was like, what does that mean? So I asked Matthew Henry. I just called him up. I didn't. He's really dead. I don't mean to be rude. He lived in the 1700s and wrote a commentary on the Bible. And I literally said, I was preparing, that nobody else was around. I actually said, like, whoa. You know, out loud. He says this, he says, "Salt is required in all the offerings. God hereby intimates to them," so that suggests, "to them that their sacrifices in themselves were unsavory. All religious services must be seasoned with grace. Christianity is the salt of the earth." That's what it says in Matthew 5, yeah? And I was like, whoa, so salt is the grace and the love of God. And even back in the law, when God is commanding the people what to do in the law, he says, your sacrifice is not good enough by itself. It needs to be seasoned with salt. And I was like, whoa, I have never even seen that before. Is anybody else, like, you read things and you don't get it, and then you read it and then something new, and that's why they say that the Bible is living and active, amen? It's awesome. And so all of the sacrifices, all of the laws, they were seasoned with salt. You know, so when I'm being the salt of the earth, it's not just my good deeds or the good things that I can do that are going to be good enough by themselves. That me being self-righteous is not going to show somebody to Jesus. But when there's salt on that, the love of God, the grace that has seasoned everything that I do, then people see Jesus in the right things that I do, amen? It's not good enough to do the right things. You can never do enough right things, yeah? Me being religious, you being religious is not going to draw somebody to God. Jesus is going to draw people to himself, amen? And so I need to be salty, filled with Jesus, so that when I do something, that salt comes out, that flavor of grace comes straight out, amen? You know, everything needs to come out of this. It needs to be like the center of your heart is Jesus and what he did for you. And so that no matter what, this heart of love, that you are loved and that you love people just comes flowing out and it's salty. Awesome. I think it's good. Now, I didn't come up with it, so I'm allowed to say that. I think it's awesome. I encourage you, as an aside, if you read something in the Bible and you don't understand it, look a bit deeper. Don't just read something and go, meh, that must mean nothing. That's not sound logic about the Bible. Look it up. There is so much resource now. Like, there was even resource in the 1700s. Thank you, Matthew Henry. You know, there's so much out there to look up, look something up, understand what it means. It changes the way that I read the Bible all the time. Now, is everything that you say and everything that you do and everything that I do, is it covered in salt? Is it covered in the grace of Jesus? You know, like, particularly in how you treat other people. And that's why Jesus goes into those specifics, because he says, is everything that you're doing, is it covered in the love and the grace of God? You know, I think there's this real difference between being salty and people tasting the salt in you and you being bitter. Now, it's not the same. You know, if you grab like a whole teaspoon of salt and you shove it in your mouth, that's nasty. But when something is seasoned with salt, it tastes better. So don't just be bitter, it'll be salty, amen? In Colossians 4:6, it says, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. It says, make sure that every single thing that you say is salty. Everything that you say kind of has this seasoning of the love and the grace of Jesus. And then people I'll get to the verse. Then you will know how to answer every person, every situation that comes up, every circumstance in your life. If it is filled, the things that you say and that you do are coming out of the love and the grace of God, then it'll change your life. Amen. Oh, I'm challenged by this. You know, is everything that I say filled with grace? No. Don't know if anybody can claim that, but I want to try. In Mark 9, Jesus says a similar thing. Mark 9:50, salt is good, but if it loses its saltiness, how can you make it salty again? Have salt in yourselves and be at peace with each other. Salt is about how you treat each other. It's about the things, like how you interact, you know. And Jesus, he goes into these specifics, which Dad spoke just incredibly on this morning. Get the podcast, just do it. You know, it means that when you come into relationship with people, when you interact with other people, that it's full of grace, that it's full of love, yeah. And that's being the salt of the earth. You know, it's when, like, it's just, you can't say that you love someone and that you love God if you hate them, yeah? And that's why Jesus talks. He talks about murder. He talks about adultery. He talks about divorce. He talks about keeping your word. He talks about turning the other cheek, forgiving people. He talks about loving people even when they hurt you, because that's what it means to be full of salt. That's what it means to be the salt of the earth, you know? Obviously, we're not going to be perfect at this, but it's his command. And it's the way we're called to live our lives, yeah? And really, I feel like it comes down to, it's really simple. It's how salty are you? You know, can you taste it? Can other people taste it? You know, if you get a pizza, you can taste the salt. And then you don't sleep, and you get the pizza dreams. But you know what I mean? Come on. Dad knows what I mean. I don't think I'm quite old enough to get that too bad yet. I think as you get a bit older, the salt in the pizza starts to affect you a bit more, or it's something else in the pizza. I don't know what it is, but you know, you can taste the salt. You go to Domino's and you order, you know, a barbecue cheeseburger. It's just like the best pizza invented, and you can taste the salt in it, you know. But the difference between that pizza and the salt that is the grace and love of God is that the pizza is bad for you, but the salt of Jesus in your life, that's not bad for you. That's really good for you. And that's good for everybody else in the world, amen? And so you can be as salty as you want. There's no such thing as being like too salty with Jesus. Like, it's just like you just want more and more of it, yeah? And so, like, do people taste the salt in your life and want more? Do people taste the salt and go, wow, that was good? Or are they just like, oh, that person's really bitter? That's such a big difference, amen? So let's be salty, yeah? The salt of the earth. The second thing that Jesus calls us in this passage is light. And this one, like, I don't know, we've heard a lot, and the Bible talks about light so much. And when you look up light, you just get like 1,000 references. But he says, you're the light of the world. A city on a hill can't be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, so they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. He says, you are the light of the world. You know, your life, my life, that's what's going to light the way for people to get to God. That's kind of scary, yeah? That my life would be a light to somebody else to show them how to get to Jesus. That's a challenge. That's not just like Jesus being like uplifting and positive about you and saying you are the light. And that's saying, you know, that come on, get it together, point that thing in the right direction because you are a light. You know, Christianity is not like a club where you just say, God, just bless me, bless me, bless me. It's this huge call, it's this huge commission to be light, to be the person that shows somebody else the way to God, just as somebody showed you the way to God. Yeah, every single one of us who know God know that it's because somebody showed us the way to that. Somebody lived a life that represented God well enough that we would make a personal decision to follow Him. That's it. It's not preaching. It's not a good message, but it's living it every single day that shows somebody that God is real, yeah? You know, I can yell and preach and spit and talk, and I could talk for 3 hours, and you wouldn't get it. Maybe you should a bit more. I don't know. But maybe I'm not that great at it. But it's not the point. The point is, like, how much more effective is a life that's lived to honor God? And how much more weight does that have? Like, how much more weight does it have when you show your family the difference that following God makes rather than telling them that they're doing the wrong thing? And how much difference does it make in your workplace when you stand for truth and when you stand for love and justice and peace and the things that Jesus tells you to stand for instead of just telling somebody that they're going to hell? It doesn't help them, yeah? Now, our lives aren't supposed to just be about, like, telling people what to do. They're about being the light. In Matthew 3, there's this little bit about a guy called John the Baptist, who is a crazy awesome guy, but it says, in those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the desert of Judea and saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. This is he who is spoken of through the prophet Isaiah, a voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord and make straight the paths for him. John's clothes were made of camel's hair and he had a leather belt around his waist. His food was locusts and wild honey. People went out from him to him from Jerusalem and all Judea and the whole region of the Jordan. Confessing their sins, they were baptized by him in the Jordan River. Here's this guy that, like, he's got this ministry going and he's crazy and he's pointing people to God. And then Jesus comes and he says this in verse 11, I baptize you with water for repentance. But after me will come one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not fit to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. I love it that we're not supposed to be people who are like, look at my life and how good I am, but it's like, I'm not even worthy of what Jesus has done. I'm just going to point the way to him. And that's all that John did, yeah? And that's all that we are called to do, just point the way to Jesus. You know, be the light for people. You know, you don't look at a light. If you look straight at a light, it actually hurts your eyes, but you use a light to show something and you look to where a light is pointing. You know, this stage is lit up because those lights are pointing at it. it's not like lights pointing at you, because then you wouldn't be able to see a thing. Yeah? You with me on that? You understand that? So us as light are not supposed to point at ourselves. We're supposed to point at God and show Him to people. And because we are all pointing at God and showing Him with the light that He's put in us, then people can see God. That's crazy. That's awesome, yeah? And this for me, it's like, do I point the light at myself, or do I point it at God? And that's a challenging question. You know, when I point it at myself and I see, and I just say, look at me, look at how righteous I am. Look at how I'm not like a sinner, how I do the right things. You know, that actually puts people off God. It actually points people away from Him. Because you're saying, look at my life, look at me and how good I am. And they go, well, I'm not interested in how good you are, because I see the mistakes that you make. And when you point the light at yourself, you know, people are just going to see them more. But if you point to God, people see God, yeah? In 2 Corinthians 4, it says in verse 6, God said, let light shine out of the darkness, and made His light shine on our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. But we have this treasure, this light, in jars of clay to show that His all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that His life may be revealed in our mortal body. And I'm saying, you've got this incredible light, but it's not in this amazing, beautiful thing that people can, so people would look at it. It's in this little jar of clay so that people can see that it's not you, it's God. That's the point, you know? When you point the light, it's not look at me, it's look at God. Look at what He has done in my life. Look at me and say, I can see that there's no way they could have done that by themselves, but it's the grace of God on their life. You know, that's what it means when it says people will see the things that you do and they will glorify God for them. Because they're not going to see the things you do and say, that's a great person. They're going to see the things that you do and go, there's a person who's just living their life for God, and God is doing incredible things. I'm going to glorify God for that person. I'm going to thank God that He put that person in my life. You know, that's glorifying God. That's pointing towards God. You know, that's just standing there humbly pointing a light at Jesus and saying, God be glorified. I don't want people to see me. I want people to see God. I don't think there's any such thing as like a good Christian that people can look at. There are people that are good examples and you need to follow those people. But I mean, there's no such thing as like a perfect Christian that is like all holy and righteous. Like there's no such thing. It's just, I'm just a jar of clay, you know, carrying this light that Jesus has given to me for free and just pointing people to Him. Amen. This is like a huge challenge for me, and I think for all of us. Like, how do you do that? How do you do that? And Jesus makes it really simple, which I love. He always makes things simple. He says in John 13, a new command I'll give to you. Love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. It's so straightforward and simple. Jesus says, if you're going to be the light and you're going to point people to God, He says, they'll know that you follow me because you love each other. They're not going to know that you follow Him because of the bumper sticker on your car or the church that you attend. They're going to know that you follow Jesus because of the love that you show to the people around you. Yeah. That's when they'll actually get it, yeah? No, that's when your friends or your family or the people that you work with actually understand that God loves them, because they see the love of God in you. Yeah? That's why Jesus says, you know, murder, adultery, divorce, keeping your word, forgiveness, loving your enemy, all of them summed up say, love people like Jesus has loved you. Amen? Now, everything that we've been given is not just for us. Now, everything that God did for you is not just for you, it's for every person and my life and your life and our lives, they can be salt and they can be light. Amen. And Jesus finishes this passage in Matthew 5:48 by saying, "Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect." And I always read that and go, whoa, what is he saying there? Like, just says all this, like, he sets up this these standards and then says, just be perfect like God is perfect. You know, I can't do that. Like, who's I, like, what? You know, and that's the point. You can't do it. I can't do it. None of us can do it. We need Jesus. Amen. I want to finish with some prayer. You know, we can't do this on our own. We need God, you know. We need him to fill our heart and fill our life and forgive us for our sins. God, thank you so much for who you are. God, thank you so much for everything that you have done for us. God, I thank you that you love us and that Jesus gave his life for us even though we never deserved it, God. And that because of him, we can be made perfect, even though we can never do it in our own effort or in our own strength, God. God, thank you so much for your grace and your love and your mercy. God, I pray that you would just fill us right now with just your life and your light. God, fill us with the love that you have for us. Help us to know how much you love us and how much you love every person in our life and in our world, God. I pray that you challenge us to be the light, be the salt, God, of the world, and not just live an average, everyday life and not just think that Christianity is about me getting blessing, God, but it's about your will and your purpose and pointing people to you. I want to pray with you tonight if you want to pray with me, just to say, God, I want a life that points people to you more. I don't know, maybe you don't even have like a relationship with God, or maybe you call yourself a Christian, but you feel like, you know, your life just, it's not pointing to God, then I want to pray with you. So if that's you, maybe you can stand with me and we can pray together. And we say, God, oh God, I want more of you in my life so that it comes out more. I want to be pointing to you more so that when people see my life, they don't see me, but they see you and what you've done. Maybe let's just all stand together and we'll pray together. And if that's you, just open your heart. Maybe raise your hands if that's what you want to do, but I want to pray that. God, I thank you so much for everything you've done for us. God, we never deserved it, but you did it anyway because you love us. God, we want to give our lives to you afresh tonight. God, we want to live lives that point to you. God, we want to live lives that are full of salt, full of the grace of God. God, forgive us for living our own way and for doing things the way we think is right. God, show us what you want to do in our lives. Help us to honor you. Come into our heart, God, and fill us up new. Thank you, God. God, I thank you for every person that's here tonight, every person that's responding to you, every person that's open to you, God, that you would just pour out your spirit in an amazing way, God, and you would just fill us all with your power and your light and your presence, God, that as we leave here and we go into our week, God, that we would be light and we would be salt. And we would see a difference made in our world because we choose not to live in the culture of it, but in the culture that you set, God. And I just pray that you would just challenge our hearts, stir our hearts, God, to action so that we would do something about it this week. Amen. Before we finish, a couple of things. But first, we're going to pray this prayer together. And so if you don't know God and you want to, or you really felt that just then, you want to just make a commitment, we're just all going to pray this together. It's really simple. Just as a way of saying, yep, God, this is real. So just pray with me. Dear Jesus, I believe in you. Thank you for forgiving me. Come into my life. I'll follow you. Amen.